Proverbs chapter 23, we're going to look at verse 6 and 7. And I'm going to read it out of the New King James, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser," or as the King James says, "a person with an evil eye," or another version says, "a stingy person." All right, "Do not eat the bread of a stingy person." So you're probably asking yourself, how come? For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Now, we often use this verse of scripture for us. As we think in our heart, so we are. This is talking about a stingy person, an evil-eyed person, a miser. All right, but it works both ways. All right, it's a spiritual principle. And he says there, nor desire his delicacies. I'm sorry. It says, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So a person who goes along those lines, their heart is not with you. Now listen to what it says in the Amplified Bible. It says, what happened? How come it's doing that? Okay. Eat not bread from him who has a hard, grudging, and envious eye, neither desire his dainty food. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. As one who reckons, he says to you, eat and drink, yet his heart is not with you, but is grudging the cost. And he's looking at everything he's doing. But the principle of that whole verse is simply this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So if an evil person thinks that way, a good person should start thinking God thoughts. Because as you think, that's what's going to happen to your life. All right? So again, as we think in our heart, so we'll be. If you think that you're a loser, if you think that you'll never make it, if you think you'll never go any further, then so be it. Basically, that's what it's saying. As a man thinketh in his heart, so be it. All right? So let's look at this a little further and see, because really this verse of scripture in reality is the key to the Christian life. We talk about confession, and certainly that's true. We've talked about it all the time. It's true. Actually, I titled this Grace Living and Thinking. All right? Because we need to think what God thinks. We have a really warped idea of God, a warped conception of God, that he's out to get us, that he's out to beat us up. And this verse is the key. The root of all our victories in the Christian life is just rooted in the way that you think. Amen. And so it's taking this mind that we have, this wonderful thing that God's given to us. So many people imagine so many things and do so many great things, but it's renew it to God. And he's going to take that imagination that you have, and great things are going to come out. All right? So our thoughts really need to start lining up with what God says, with the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him?" We don't know the mind of the Lord. How can we instruct him? But it says, we have the mind of Christ. Well, right there, you know, and here's the things we tell ourselves, we tell our children, you'll never amount to anything. And, you know, they start forming an image, and they start imagining in their heart that they're never going to amount to anything. And guess what? They never amount to anything. Why? Because we place this image in there. Images are strong. You know, Paul says, what you've seen in me, do. What you heard me say, what you've seen me do, you do it also. Because what you see, what you hear is what you see. And that puts an image in your brain. And that's why it's so important to uplift people, encourage people, tell them that they're great, tell them that they could be better than they are. Because you're imprinting something in their mind and in their heart. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he'll be. All right? Isaiah 55, verse 8. Says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts of your thoughts. So let's face it, our thoughts are minuscule compared to God's thoughts. And he's saying, start thinking my thoughts. Start thinking what I'm thinking. Start imagining what I'm imagining. You know, and his thoughts and his ways are so much higher. And that doesn't mean we can't. It doesn't say we can't think like the Lord in these verses of Scripture, because through the Word it says we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, we can certainly think God thoughts. All right? See, what the Word of God, you know what people have? They don't like the Word of Faith movement. You want to know why they hate it and despise it? Because it challenges them, and it never says anything bad. It always elevates them to think higher instead of just saying, oh, poor me, and just let's dig a ditch and crawl in the ditch because you're just a worm, you're no good, and you're going to crawl on your belly the rest of your life. And people want to hear that. For some reason, it makes them feel good. And when they hear something that's so positive that challenges them, they say, they're crazy. But they'll listen to these quacks on television in the middle of the night, tell them they could be all they are. They'll listen to that guy who's like, he makes me a nervous wreck. He's always like doing some kind of exercise or something. I don't know his name. And people listen to him and they send him hundreds of millions of dollars to buy his books, to read his books, when they can go out and for $19.95 and get a Bible and do what it says. All the positive thinkers that are out there that are just taking people's money. In five steps, I'm going to tell you how to just be great. Jesus, God says, receive Jesus, be a doer of this word, and you'll be great.
Amen.
All right. So the word elevates our thinking up to God's level, where we start to see things as God sees things, and not as we see them on this level that we're at. James chapter 3, verse 4 says, look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Now think about that. You ever see like one of these big, like a cruise ship? You ever see the rudder on a cruise ship? They're not really, I mean, they're big. They're bigger than you and me, but in comparison to the size of the boat that they're steering, they're not that big. It's the same thing I know when I was young growing up and I had a boat. You know, we had outboards and, you know, I'd have like a 24-foot boat with a. Back then they didn't have all these 300 horsepower outboards. You know, if you had like 100 horsepower Merc cruiser, you were doing good, brother. You were cruising nice. But it only had a little thing on it. You know, the engine just had a little and that steered the boat wherever I wanted it to go. Forwards, backwards, it didn't matter. Well, the tongue is like a rudder of a ship. And your will, which we talked about on Sunday, comes from your thinking. And it's like you're the pilot of the ship that you're sailing through life in, all right? And your tongue is always speaking what you're thinking. That's why the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, okay? And we listen to so much negative stuff out there, all the news. I haven't even been watching the news anymore. I'm just sick and tired of listening to the garbage. You know, I think if Donald Trump found a cure for cancer, someone would say he's making money off it. Or the Russians gave him the formula. Or all this other baloney. They're nuts. All of them they need to put tape over them. I hope it's on TV. I don't even care. But they need to put tape over their mouth and everybody just chill. Take a chill pill or something. Because it's crazy. I don't even wonder why. Mark said, we got to see what's going on in the world. I said, it's real simple. They're nuts. We don't have to see what's going on. They're cuckoo. They've gone off the deep end. So, but anyway, our tongue speaks what we think. And so if these people are doing these things, that's what they're thinking about. And their actions depict what? What they're thinking. Your actions depict what's going on in your brain. Okay? And the Christian, it's not like we drive this small boat. This is our life. This is the SS Anthony Storino cruise ship. And I'm steering that puppy. So I could either steer it into deep water or I could run it aground. And that's what people do. All right? You know, it's like we have a huge cruise ship. And that's why our mind needs to be renewed to the Word of God every day. We need to look at it. We need to read it. We need to get it into our hearts. So we change. And let me tell you something. Renewing your mind. Romans chapter 12 is a never-ending process. Because it doesn't matter what it looks like, all right? God wants us to shape our thinking to be like His. Forget who I was talking to. Somebody, just the other. Oh, today, actually, I was at the chiropractor, and I was talking to his wife, and she's a nurse. And we were talking about, she had this really weird experience this week. She was in ShopRite. She was going to ShopRite, and this guy is walking. She said, and he's walking like this. All of a sudden, he hits the ground like a rock. So she don't know what to do to jump out of the car and go help him or not. All of a sudden, the cop comes up. She goes, now she don't know whether to go out and help the cop. And by the time she's thinking all this stuff, another cop shows up. So she gets out of the car. She starts walking over to him, and they're working on this kid. All of a sudden, the kid, like, jumped up. I said, they Narcanned him. She goes, you're absolutely right. She goes, how'd you know that? I says, because I have a Narcan kit in my car. I have one in my house. I have one in my office. Got one everywhere. And so we started talking. So she started asking me, what do I think about addiction? I says, well, I think first and foremost, number one, with most young people today, it's a choice. Once they're hooked, it no longer is a choice. They've got a problem. So I don't like, you know, everybody calls it a disease of the brain. It becomes a disease of the brain. But the first shot is a choice. Unless someone is on pain medication and then they are getting hooked on the pain medication and that runs out, now it's no longer, well, it's still a choice because they can go get help for that too, but most of them don't. All right? Because if it's chronic pain, they want relief from that, and that's understandable. So it's not a choice, but the first time when somebody's never done the drug before, someone's never shot heroin or smack or anything like that, that's a choice. So my theory, and it's just my theory, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist or anything else, I think when a person, that's why I like some of the 12-step programs, because they are truly designed to change the way the addicted person is thinking. But then they have to be careful because they get over in a rut that they're really never any good to go on. You know, instead of introducing them to that grace that God will take it as long as you keep Him first in your life. I mean, that's what if I ever taught the steps, I would use the steps and teach them different, you know, because they just tell you, you know, that you're always, and I did have one 12-step person that's been in it for a long time, recovery. I says, you know, you guys keep saying you're in recovery. He goes, no, I'm a recovered alcoholic. He said, but I got to use the term we're in recovery to keep people going. That's why they use the term. I said, that makes me feel better. Because they used to get me upset that they used to say, my name is John Smith and I'm an alcoholic. When's the last time you had a drink? I don't know, 30 years ago? Think you're over it? I'm not telling you to go out and drink again. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that. But, you know, maybe we need to get on the road to say, hey, I can be in a better place and all this. But the meetings are important, and I'm not bombing the meetings. I could see the text messages I'm going to get after tonight. But anyway, God wants us to shape our thinking to be like His. If we could shape people's thinking to be like God's divine thinking, God's way of thinking, and instead of human thinking, which is the world's way of thinking, it's just the world's way of thinking because they have all the answers. When really, God's the one who has all the answers. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, which are new every morning. So they are new every morning. If you mess up today, the mercies of God kick in at 12:01 midnight. They're new again. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, how do we present our bodies a living sacrifice? Do we throw them on an altar and stab them? No, we do it by being a doer of God's word, by trusting in God's word. That's being a living sacrifice, understanding that He's a God of grace that wants us to move on, that wants us to go forward. That's how we do it. And He goes and He tells us and He gives us the formula. Do not be conformed to this world. I have someone on Facebook that, you know, he is... does all these posts, how so much the ministers in the church are becoming more like and more like the world. You know, we're not to conform to the world. Our job is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So our job is to get people in the door and get their minds renewed. Get them into the transforming mode that they could prove. And the word prove means to show. That the will of God is good. It's acceptable and it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the will of God. It's the greatest thing in the world. What's the will of God? The Word of God. You know, I started to allude something on Sunday. It says, there's the will of God and the work of God. The will of God for every one of us in this room, every one of us in Christianity, is the same. It's the same will of God for all of us. The work of God is a different thing. You're not going to go in the Bible and you're not going to find what God, the work of God for you. Other than things it says where it says, do the work of an evangelist. Or, you know. But ministry, in ministry, you're not going to find, there's my name. This is what I have to do. It doesn't work that way. But the will of God for all of us is the same. And it's simply to be a doer of the word. And when you are a doer of the word, God will show you the work you need to do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
People make it too complicated. But it says it's our reasonable service. Spiritual worship. It's worship to God. When we do the word, we're worshiping God. We're actually humbling ourselves to God. And how many of you know He gives more grace to the humble? But when we do the word of God, we're humbling ourselves, saying, okay, we are placed ourselves under your authority. We're going to do what your book says, not what my book says. Okay? When you present your bodies daily to God, it's an act of worship to God to say, listen, God, truly, I found a higher power. Really, it's what it's saying. And you're the higher power, something bigger than me is going to be able to handle this. When we praise and when we thank God for what He's given us, we're returning back to Him. You know, one of the things that whenever I do, like in November, I got to go to Canada and do a minister's conference, a luncheon, or I don't know exactly what it is, but I always get asked this question. How do you handle when people say, great job, Pastor? I just say thank you. Because right away, our first inclination is, oh, well, it was God. You know, because we get all like goosebumpy about it. And that I used to do that. And I said, you know, that's more being prideful than anything else. Because it ain't me. It's Him. He's allowing me to take the praise for something that He's given me. So I asked another minister, how do you handle when somebody tells you you did a great job? He says, just say thank you, and when you go later, thank God for that. So that's giving back to God, returning the praise and the worship back to him that's come from other people. And he said, and that's what humility is. Because you know, every minister knows it's not them. When I don't care who they are, amen, from Kenneth Copeland to Jesse DePlantis to all of them, I've been with them after services, and the first question they'll ask their wives is, how'd I do? Because they know it's not them. But how did I present God's word to the people? So when we praise him, we thank God for what he's given us. And when we're worshiping, and we're worshiping back to God. And it says, do not be conformed to this world. And the word world there is the word cosmos. Cosmos means, it's where we get the word cosmetic from. The worldly adorning that's out there. The cosmetic makeup of the world. There's two words for world, eon and cosmos. Eon is a specific age time frame. Cosmos is the adorning of the world with all its garbage out there, with all what Hollywood's trying to put on us. I read something the other day. I know there's a lot of Christian movies out there, and there's a lot of controversy about them. And one preacher said, we need to be careful when Hollywood starts to be like the church and the church starts to be like Hollywood. And he went on how they present Jesus of the gospel. And it wasn't pretty. I don't know where I read it somewhere. I don't know exactly where it was, but I did read it. So don't be conformed to the world. Don't be molded by the outward pressure of... But be changed by the inward pressure. You see, if you meditate in God's word, there's going to be a pressure on the inside of you that's going to force you to change on the outside. But outward, the pressure of the world is this: temptations, and they're all around. Lusts, reason, big one, reasoning. We reason everything. Why we shouldn't do this, why we can't do that. You don't have to do that. The inward pressure is the Holy Spirit, okay? We have we have those three, I'm sorry. Temptations, lust, and reasonings. Then we have the inward pressure, which is the Holy Spirit. That's on the inside of us. The promises of God are yea and amen to all of us. All over 2,000 of them belong to you and me. God's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to give me more promises than he's going to give Bob. All right, supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. If we're saved, we all have it. And our thoughts are centered around God. Amen? God changes each of us and every day from the inside out. You know, greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. Listen. Second Thessalonians chapter 5 or 1st. Anyway, it says, sanctify a spirit, soul, and body. You need to understand something about that verse of scripture. I hammer that all the time because people always inevitably go body, soul, and spirit. It's spirit, soul, and body because what we have to understand, God works from the inside out. The devil works from the outside in. So when we put the body over the spirit, we're simply, and that's what people do. Why do you think the commercials on television are geared the way they're geared? Why do you think they place things in the store the way they place them in the store? Why do you think when you go to the mall, they put all that fancy stuff in the windows of the mall, in the stores? Whether it's Aeropostale or it's Victoria's Secret or any of those places. There's a guy who's a minister today, worked for one of those big stores. He was the guy that You see the way the stores put the stuff in the stores on the walls? He's the guy who came up with that whole concept for the Gap. He worked with the Gap. He worked for the Gap. And he was a big shot with the Gap. Made millions of dollars with the Gap. His first name is Dean. And I've met him several times. And he got saved. And he quit the business. He says, because all it is soft pornography, trying to lure you through the doors to buy their stuff. And he could no longer work for them and do that being what he knows. Because there was the Gap, just one, but the Gap owned a lot of all these stores, you know. PR lady, help me out, right? They like own, yeah. And so they were. So he came up with the design of the clothes on the wall and the and stuff like that on the racks, on the boardwalk they call it flash. Get your attention, and so that was his concept, and he left that, gave up hundreds of millions of dollars, and left the companies. And so now he travels around the world, teaching ministers how to be the best they can by changing the way they think. Because everybody, they want to get you into stores because they're appealing to your thinking. They're appealing to your flesh. Every single one of them. Amen. So anyway, the Word of God teaches us this, that our thought process should guide our lives every day, all right, to bring joy and peace, stability, and love. All the different things mentioned because it affects so many areas of our life. Worldliness, when we look at it, according to Romans chapter 12, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Worldliness is simply how you think. It starts with how you think. There are certain behaviors that indicate your thoughts are worldly. Thoughts are what cause us to be worldly. Thoughts are what cause us to be godly. If you're constantly looking at worldly things, guess what your thoughts are going to be? Worldly. Stands to reason that if you meditate on godly things, your thoughts are going to be godly. Does that make sense to me or whatever? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any power or virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. God wants us to wrap our thought life around the things of God. When we do that, it produces a godly lifestyle. Amen. Watching as the world turns every day is not going to produce a godly lifestyle in you. It will entertain you. No, I'm just using that as an example. Watching a lot of the shows on television, they're not going to produce a God. They might entertain you, but they will not produce a godly lifestyle. You know? The commercials alone are bizarre. You know, I used to joke because they would show a girl pumping gas. Like, so now all these guys are going to go buy Exxon because they got some girl in a bikini pumping gas. It's like it's, that's how they get to you, though. That's the worldliness of it. I'll tell you, if you conquer your thought life, your natural life will take care of itself. Hello? I don't know if that made sense. If you can conquer your thought life, the natural part of you will take care of itself. Because worldly thinking is, what am I wearing? How do I look? How am I acting? How's my hair? How's my shoes? How's this? Does this go with that? And all this. And that's the worldly pattern. But if we get a godly pattern, you know, and I can go crazy with this one, but it'll take care. You'll know automatically. Is the dress too short? Is it too long? You know, should I wear socks or not wear socks? God don't really care if I wear socks or not. People do, but God doesn't. Jesus didn't. You heard the story about the kid, right? He had a long hair and a beard. And his father said, you know, if you cut your beard and your hair, I'll give you $1,000. And the kid thought about it for a while. He said, I ain't cutting. Because the kid wanted to use the car. He said, Dad, could I use the car? He says, cut your hair, shave your beard. And the kid thought about it. He read the Bible. Told his father, Jesus had long hair and a beard. His father looked at him, and he said he walked everywhere he went, too. Whoa. Anyway. But when our mind is focused on the things of God, these things take care of themselves automatically. We don't worry about them as much, you know? Matthew chapter 13, verse 5, said, some seed fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But others, starting in verse 5, I'm going down to verse 8 now, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. See, when you listen to the word of God, it's a decision. You know, when I get up in the morning, I have to decide. There's a lot of things vying for my time. So I need to decide whether I'm going to open this up or go do what I have to do. Tomorrow morning, I have to get up early because I have to be on the beach by 8 o'clock. It's definitely cramping my lifestyle, by the way. So I have to make a decision. Do I get up an hour earlier and read? Nay. I'm not going to do that. But have my phone. I can plug it into my radio, and I can listen to the Word of God for a half hour as I ride to work. But that's a decision. I could either do that, or I could listen to Fox News or Margaritaville Radio. I got three decisions to make. Listen to the Word, listen to Jimmy Buffett, or listen to Fox and Friends. The Word. Amen? Amen. You get the picture here? It's a decision. Nobody's going to beat you in the head, break your arm off and beat you with it and say, you better do this. No, you don't have to do a thing. I'm saying, nobody's forcing you to do anything. But if you want to see change in your life, you'll make a decision to do something about it. Otherwise, it's going to be same thing every day. All right? And the key to this whole parable here is the sower and the seed. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. All of us have. All of you are getting the same seed tonight. You do know that. Amen. Some is going to fall on hard ground. Some is going to fall on stony ground. Some is going to fall on good ground. Amen. Hard ground. You know what hard ground is? It's a mind that's focused someplace other than the Word of God. Amen. You're thinking about something. Your focus is somewhere else. And it says Satan comes immediately to steal the sown word, especially the one that falls on hard ground. And the reason it's hard is because you're just thinking it, your focus is not right. All right? And so that's the mind. Satan can take advantage of that. But good ground, when you're focused on God things, it produces a godly lifestyle. again, and we'll bring this to a close, you have to make the decision. You have to say, I have spiritual ears. I can hear. I'm going to open my ears, open my mind, open my heart, and I'm going to receive. See, when you do that, you choose to receive the word of God instead of the word of the world. And it goes on. And it says how it began to produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's God's desire. James tells us in chapter 4, do you not know that the friendship with the world is an enemy? Is it the enemy of God? See, trying to be like the world, that's God's enemy. That's like these people who want to be friends with ISIS. They want to kill us. Oh, but they're God's people too. Yeah, but they're crazy. They're crazy and they're controlled by the devil. The world is the enemy of God. The enemy of God's ways. We have to live here, but we don't have to be friends with them. Amen or oh me. And one more thing, just to... My wife, talking about reading, no, I'm talking about studying and reading the Word of God. My wife, we talk about the Word of God all the time. Amen. We constantly, my wife and I talk about the Word of God all the time. She'll get up, like, she'll read the Word in the morning. She's sitting there at the table reading the Word. I might be on my computer doing some work And just we'll start bouncing. She'll start bouncing stuff. What do you think about this? Well, and she'll start doing a whole Bible study. And anybody that's ever been with her anywhere for one or two or three days, every morning, gets up, spreads everything out on the dining room table, starts studying. Then who's ever sitting in earshot of her gets what she studied. Am I right? Those of you who've been with her ever, that's what she does. Well, we do that every day. So to me, it's not a big deal when she does that, but she does that every single day. Me, I study different than her, you know? She's got her little routine. I got my own little routine when I'm at home, when I study God's word and what I'm doing. I'm more like... looking things up, looking at Greek stuff and all this other kind of stuff where, you know, I got everything on my computer. She has her concordance, Ancient of Days. It's like she's old school. Amen. I have a basement full of books, boxes of books. I mean, we're talking... tens of thousands of dollars worth of books. All on here. All these books, I'm going to donate them to a museum. Somebody says, hey, don't get rid of them. They're going to be worth money someday. I said, that or not. Everybody, every preacher in the world got them. If every preacher in the world got rid of theirs and I was the only one with them left and the publishing companies went out of business, maybe they would be worth money, but I don't think I'm going to wait that long. Amen. Music ministry. Did you get anything? You understand what I'm talking about? Grace thinking. We need to start thinking godly thoughts, and we'll start living a peaceful, joyful life. Can you say amen? Amen. Becoming a doer of the word. Hallelujah.